I'm Lois Shulman, editor of Community Mental Health Association of Michigan Connections, with Brianna Demaray from Traverse City, Michigan. Brianna's essay won second place in the Disability Rights Michigan 2025 essay contest. Brianna writes about her own journey marked by profound hardship and silent struggles. Brianna's smile and sparkling eyes do not tell her story. It is her words, beautifully written, that share her story. Brianna, would you please share with us here?
First of all, thank you so much for the honor of being interviewed, and also thank you all who have read my essay. I'm deeply honored to have it out there for people, and I hope that it helps someone. I guess I don't really know where to jump in.
How did this journey begin? Maybe you want to give us a little background about your life before.
Yeah. So Traverse City has always been home for me. At the same time, I was not born here. I was born in Ohio, and I was adopted at the age of 3. And the family who adopted me lived in Michigan. So that is how Traverse City came to be my home. While my adoption removed me from an environment that wasn't safe or healthy for me, it also placed me into an environment that was confusing most of the time, as well as unpredictable. For a good amount of my childhood, I had a single mom. She took on quite a lot by adopting myself and my siblings. In that, having come from an environment that had a lot of trauma, my siblings and I also had a lot of trauma. I guess you could say that I was one of the lucky ones because I was the youngest, and the effects of that trauma, they didn't really surface until I became an adult. When I was 19 years old, I had my first hospital stay. The details around why I ended up in the hospital are still kind of fuzzy for me. I do know that I did not feel like myself. It was a very scary time. During the hospital stay, I was afraid. I didn't speak for weeks. And thankfully, a family reached out to me and said that they felt that I was supposed to stay with them. They helped me get on my feet. They helped me get into college. You know, they encouraged me. They championed me. I would not have a bachelor degree in social work if it was not for that family. Through my college years, my mental health was, I'd say, at bay. I still had struggles with specific aspects of my life and mental health, which I didn't recognize at the time. I struggled with OCD tendencies as well as intense anxiety. Oftentimes, how I experienced anxiety and the OCD tendencies came out as being unkind, short, dysregulated. I'm sure that my friends at the time will agree with those descriptions. It was after I got my degree when my mental health struggles reared its head really badly. I had thrown myself into employment. I guess I would be called a go-getter from the start. You know, I've always wanted to work hard and do the best I can with whatever field area I'm working in. I was able to work in various sectors of social work. I worked with homelessness prevention. I worked with domestic violence survivors. I also had the opportunity during COVID to be a intake specialist for a hotline, a call line for folks to be able to call if they were facing an eviction. And they would do an assessment with me, which then would go on to the next department. So in a nutshell, I was basically someone who asked a lot of personal questions and then wasn't able to give any kind of resolution at the end of our phone call. That was the most difficult part of that job, feeling like I wasn't being a part of the good that was happening. I wasn't able to see the fruit of that like I had been in the past in my positions. During COVID, I remember looking out of my window of my home, and it was snow covered. And I remember feeling like the last person on the earth. And it was then when my mental health severely declined. I fell into a severe, deep depression, suicidal ideation, anxiety, you name it. My friends and family members, specifically those who had seen firsthand the change that was happening with me, they stuck by me since the start of COVID and my journey through the mental health system while I was in and out of the hospital. Within the last 5 years, I have been in the hospital over 34 times. That being said, I was trying different medications. I was trying different therapy. Nothing really seemed to improve my situation. And it was my friends and family who did research and found a facility that is farm-based. This is the hard part for me. I get emotional. They started up a GoFundMe for me because of the costs that it would take for me to be able to go there. My insurance wouldn't cover it at first. It was actually through my community mental health. They did not feel that that was the best option for me at the time. They thought that other things could take the place of that, different approaches. However, my friends and family stuck to it because they strongly believed, and because I had expressed a desire, like a deep desire to try it, because I was desperate to try anything at that point. So the GoFundMe page that they started up raised over $40,000.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So to say that I'm grateful is an understatement. My time at the facility on the farm was probably one of the most challenging times of my life. I felt a pull between wanting to get better and not quite having the belief that it was possible. I was there for a few months before, again, my depression reared its ugly head, and I quickly declined and was no longer able to stay at that facility because the level of care that I needed was not able to be provided there because that wasn't the type of facility it is. So I was then hospitalized. Again, I spent a little over a month there most recently. And during that time, the staff there would tell me over and over again that, like, I was making a miraculous recovery, that it was incredible. And at first, my motivation was just to get out of there. My thinking was, oh, if they think I'm doing well, they'll release me. But then, after a couple weeks, my desire to leave there wasn't so strong. I appreciated and needed at the time that kind of structure and routine that they were able to provide. I was able to go to different group therapies that were tailored to my interests, like arts and crafts, cinema therapy, which I had never heard of before. It was awesome. We got to watch movies and then we, you know, thought critically about them and shared our thoughts as we went along in the process of watching the film. And it just kind of reminded me of the things that I already knew that were helpful. You know, they talk about coping skills. They talk about using your tools and just kind of leaning into your hobbies. And that hospital stay really was instrumental in reminding me of all the things that have helped me in the past. You know, I love arts and crafts. I love watching movies, and music is a huge one too for me. So after that hospital stay, I made the decision that I wanted to return back to my home in Traverse City. That transition was difficult because it was kind of a grieving process. You know, I had grown familiar, not just with the hospital, but before that with the facility I was staying at. And it was quite a transition home. And my supports, they stuck by me through it. You know, they voiced their concerns. At the same time, they supported me, and I have been home since November. I am employed through my community mental health, through the transitional employment program. I'm here talking with you as a second place winner of the essay contest. You know, I'm leaning into things I enjoy, like I'm getting back into writing. I'm getting back into music. I'm, you know, loving on my pets, that type of thing, you know. And so far, I feel great. I have days where I worry that my depression is going to go back to how it has been in the past. That is a fear that comes up. At the same time, I'm able to use my tools of grounding, of helping remind myself to self-regulate and making sure that I give myself that time and space to do so. So, you know, each day is different. But at the same time, I've really rediscovered that there's something good in every day, and there's something worth it to wake up to every day. And my biggest encouragement since being home is the supports that I have had over the last few years. You know, they've stayed a constant in my life, and I can't stress the importance of a really strong support system along with really good mental health services, which, to be 100% honest, has been an uphill battle, which I'm still willing to climb. At the same time, I believe in advocacy and policy changes, and I want to be continuing to be a part of those kind of conversations. So I felt like this was a good avenue for that as well.
It's beautiful, you're sharing, and I like what you said about your supports, that they have been there to listen to you, to not only give their opinions, but also respect what it is that you want and where you want to go. You mentioned in your essay about Clubhouse. Did you want to share anything about that experience?
Yes. Upon discharge from the hospital in November, I was supposed to be set up with various services, including therapy, group therapy, medication management, that type of stuff. But some of those things took time, longer than expected. But the one thing that was almost immediate, thankfully, was my involvement with Clubhouse. I had a referral through my case management team to go to Clubhouse. And as soon as I toured that day, I knew it was a place that I could go and feel not only accepted and understood, but also like a place to encourage me to keep going. It was challenging at first, but I found my area, the clerical department. I really enjoy that with the data entry, you know, newsletters, birthday cards for members, that type of stuff, just being able to assist with that kind of work. So when I got home, I was literally going to Clubhouse every day of the week, almost. And I can 100% say that Clubhouse saved my life since being home, because the services I was supposed to be getting took longer than they were supposed to. So Clubhouse was really the only constant that I had at the time, and continues to be there even after I have the services that I was supposed to have in place, as well as employment. You know, Clubhouse is where I go after my shift is over.
Well, that's beautiful. You also mentioned you have pets.
I do. Would you like to say hi to one?
Yes, I would.
My naughty one. That's not yours. He's eating the cat toy.
Oh, he's do. Will you tell the people listening about him?
This is my best friend, my guy, Gilbert.
Oh, hi, Gilbert. He's so adorable. What kind of a dog is he?
He's a Bichon Shih Tzu.
Oh. Well, I can see that that provides a lot of happiness for you.
It does.
Is there anything else you want to add?
I guess encourage folks to reach out if they're not already connected with the Clubhouse. Folks who live with mental illness, to reach out and, you know, ask about if there's a possibility of being able to be a part of a clubhouse in your area, because it really does transform what you're going through. It takes you to a different level as far as being able to manage and cope and live with mental illness.
Well, thank you very much for sharing your story and also for writing that beautiful essay, which will be posted on the website along with your podcast.
Oh, I'm very honored. Thank you.